scholar and writer Roy Zuck says there's a cemetery in New York City. You can go and visit it. And as you go out there, walk in the cemetery, you go to one portion of the park and you will discover an interesting headstone. There engraved on the stone, you'll find really not much. No date of birth, no epitaph writing some words, just a name and a single word. Apparently, that word must have meant something significant to either the deceased or the family, and likely both. One word on a tombstone: forgiven. According to popular speaker and author Chuck Swindoll, he asked the questions. He says, what's our greatest need? And this season, what is our greatest need? Swindoll said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have given us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have given us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, which you probably think it is, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. And so God sends us the Savior. Sometimes we feel as if these other things are what we really need. But it's interesting, when God comes to Mary and gives her a message and gives her a son, God gives birth to something that we need most of all, today and every day throughout this season. We all stand in the same need. And does Mary's son have the power to forgive you your sins so that you can live between Christmases with a sense of joy and enthusiasm, with your head held high and feeling good about yourself? Does Mary's son have the ability and the power to make you feel like, hey, you know, I'm just starting out. I'm fresh. I got a clean slate. And I can move forward in a very positive manner. Well, does Christ have the power to forgive? When Jesus was in the presence of the immoral woman in Luke 7, Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And of course, some of the guests were there and they were saying among themselves, who is this that he even forgives our sins? When you come in the presence of Christ, you come into a person's presence who is extremely powerful and has tremendous authority. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus steps into a boat. He crosses over to the other side into this town. And it says they, in the scriptures in Matthew 9, some men bring to him a paralyzed person lying on a mat. And when Jesus sees their faith, he says to them, the paralytic, he says, take heart, son. Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. And in Matthew 26, remember when Jesus was sitting around, they were eating food and celebrating the festival. Matthew 26, it says, and Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it, and said to them, drink from it. Here you are, sitting in the presence of Christ. And he says, here, I want you to drink from this cup. All of you. This is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. When you come into the presence of Mary's child, you come into the presence of an authority who can pronounce you clean. I tell you, folks, a lot of people are living the season and with no sense of being pure. There's a burden that is on many of us because we have the memory and the weight of the past that we just can't seem to shake. Truth is, we all lie guilty before God. We are under the weight of guilt for what you've done. And some of you keep a diary, not many of you, but some of you do. And you write down things. I don't know what you write about, the private things you do and the things you do that aren't so good. But if all of us were to write these things down, it's the year's almost over, and we kept a record, I tell you, when you opened that up and you read it on Christmas morning, it would be very depressing. Let's just read it to ourselves and review all of the things that we've done wrong in public or private. Hopefully some of them you've apologized. Hopefully all of them you've apologized to others or to God, or to put back what you've taken, or to reconcile, to restore, to try to correct. You can never change history. All you can do is go forward and try to do better the next time and ask for mercy for the past time. But if had we to keep a record of these things, and we do sometimes inadvertently, and the weight, it just presses us down, and it's not a good place to be. And so it's a better place to be, like in Matthew 11, when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Or remembering 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wrong. Which brings me to 1973. Norma was rather ambitious, and she felt her rights were being deprived. And so she went to court with a lawyer, and she felt that she had the right over her own body, including what lived inside. And so Norma fought for her right to take the life of an unborn child. And since 1973, there's been roughly 40 million unborn children who have forfeited their lives. Well, about 22 years into the legal taking here in America of human unborn life, Norma was not feeling too good about herself. I mean, imagine this. Here you are. You fight for the right, the women's right. And then you realize 22 million unborn children have forfeited their lives. You're not feeling too good that Christmas season. And you don't know what to do because you can't change history. But in 1995, Norma McCorvey, better known as Ms. Roe in Roe versus Wade, she gave her life to Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a great theme, the fourth theme this Christmas, this Advent season, theme that God is willing to lift our burdens, no matter how heavy a weight is upon us. He's come to give us rest for our souls. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wrong. The Apostle Paul says here in Acts 13:38, "I come to proclaim to you forgiveness of sins." Norma McCorvey, John, Bill, Mary, Patty, whatever your name may be, whatever you've done, whatever weight you may feel at the moment, I've come to lift your burden, to forgive you. Christmas is a wonderful time about giving, receiving forgiveness. You know, when you think about the announcement of the angel who came out into the countryside and he appeared to the shepherds, and then a flood of angels. And the shepherds were watching their flocks at night, taking care of them. And they weren't far from the temple, a few miles away. Some of you know about these sheep, that they were often used to be offered up as sacrifice, to take away, you know, a picture of taking away the sins of the people in the liturgy that was being offered. We don't go through, we have a very simple liturgy now, but they had a very more complex liturgy. You wonder if these shepherds really understood what John the Baptist would be saying a little later about this son who was born. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. Like Norma McCorvey, the sins of the world seem to be resting upon her shoulders. And yet, he's born to lift the weight, dying for the sins of the world, for those who believe. You see, the truth is that the bumper sticker is still accurate. Wise men still seek him. Christ is born to forgive. But to receive his forgiveness, it involves something on your response. Something from you. And the hymn put it this way, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. The requirement to enter in to forgiveness and to have that burden lifted is the requirement of a meek and humble soul, where you come to Christ before Mary's grown child and you take your low position and you say, Lord, here I am. This season I deserve nothing but your judgment. I don't have any gifts to offer you except some open hands that are stained, but hoping, praying would receive something this season as I place myself before you. Paul says here in the Acts 13:38, brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. As we go through this season, God wants us to know that Christ has come to bring us a fresh start. If God were to, this season, paint an image for you, if he could, you know, put a canvas out there for you to see that Christ is born to forgive you, what do you think he might paint on the canvas? As I turned in my wife's Bible earlier today, I was reminded of what image God painted through the prophet Isaiah when he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This is a great season for us to be out and around, particularly if we see what we saw during the Living Nativity. You know, the dark ground covered with a blanket of white snow. God painting a picture of what he's giving birth to in his son Jesus as he comes to forgive us through confidence in Christ so that we might have a fresh start this season. If you were to look up in a theological dictionary, you probably wouldn't find an image about how God communicates his forgiveness. You'd find more of a technical definition or information about his forgiveness. What does it mean in a typical New Testament theological dictionary to be forgiven? It means, or to forgive, to let go, to cancel, to remit, to leave behind, to release, or to take away. And to appreciate how God takes away our sins in Christ when you put faith in Him, to appreciate that, it's helpful to see the backdrop. Remember the backdrop of our sin, because it's a taking away of our sin. As Paul proclaims forgiveness, it's to remission or taking away of those things that are repugnant to God. And so, which leads us to a definition again. What is sin? The word hamartia, the Greek word for sin, means basically to miss the mark. Most of you by now know that. You miss the mark. So for a minute, you can imagine a bullseye. Okay, here it is. Here's the bullseye this season. And there's a target there. And you're shooting throughout for about 355 days now. You've been shooting at the target. And as this year has unfolded, the center of the target is love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and then, of course, there's definition to all that, like don't lie, don't cheat, don't covet things that don't belong to you, don't steal, honor your father and mother, so on and so forth. Now, as we shoot at the target, as each day unfolds for us, we find at the end of the year we've got these arrows stuck in the target, all sorts of the place. Some of them are like over here, you know, down here. But we really don't find that for those many days that we've hit the bullseye, which leads us to this season. And Christ gives birth to forgiveness, which means to take away your sins. And so in this season, we remember that God is pulling the arrows out of the target. You see? He's taking away. Normally you think about giving us a Christmas gift, you're getting something. But here, the gift of forgiveness is really about taking away. He pulls out the arrows that you've been shooting and hitting the wrong place. And that's a picture of forgiveness. But it's interesting that Paul, when he preaches here in Acts, he adds something more positive. Because really, he puts the arrow right back in the center in verse 38. Look at verse or 39. Look at what he says. He says in Acts, he says, not only do I preach to you the forgiveness of sins in Jesus, verse 39, Acts 13, through him everyone who believes, do you believe this season? Everyone who believes is justified. That is, you're declared upright, as if you hit the bullseye. You're justified from everything that you could not be justified from trying to keep the law of Moses. When I was on active duty in the Army, I guess it was the Reserves, yeah, down in 6 months, down at Fort Knox. Never did see any gold, by the way. But I was down there about 1965 or 66. And part of the basic training was getting out on the rifle range. And we had all these soldiers lined up, I don't know, a couple hundred of us. We took our turns. And I was in this lane, and I'm down on the ground. I'm prone and leaning over a sandbag, shooting at these targets. It must have been 200-300 feet away. And I know I wasn't doing real well. I just knew I didn't have a whole lot of experience shooting. So I'm shooting at the targets. And the next thing I know, after it's all said and done, you know, they're handing out the awards and they give me the sharpshooter award. Not too bad, you know. Sharpshooter. And I'm thinking, how did this happen? As I know, I wasn't hitting too many targets. And then I finally realized what had happened. The guy next to me in the other lane was shooting the wrong target. You see? He got the raw end of the deal. And I got the right end, the good end. I got to wear the badge, you see? I still have it tucked away somewhere. I don't know where it is. But that's what Paul's saying here in the 39th verse. Through him, everyone who believes in, everyone who has their confidence in Christ, his perfect performance as he shot the arrows of life, trying to do the right things. If you are trusting in Him and what He did as Mary's child grew up and lived on earth and made these great choices. If your confidence is there, you see, he says, then you're justified. Then God considers you upright through your confidence in Him. Because the other way, really, he says, look, you can't be justified by trying to keep the law of Moses. By trying to keep all those rules. I pray you keep as many of God's rules as you can. But folks, it's not going to make you an upright person. And the wonderful message of this season is that Christ has come to pull out all those arrows that we shot in the wrong place. And basically, He hits the bullseye for us. And He proclaims us both forgiven and upright, as if we had kept all of God's laws ourselves. And the Christmas message is a wonderful message. And the Messiah comes to earth. And some people didn't understand it as Jesus was ministering among the people. You know, it took them a while to figure out, who is this Jesus? Some said, is He Jeremiah? Is He Elijah? Is He John the Baptist come back from the dead? But as people began to see it, it became more clear. Because, well, some were just simply looking for a handout of bread from Jesus. Because he knew he could make bread stretch far. Some are simply looking to be cured because he knew he had the wonderful ability to like restore blind people's sight or to cure a withered hand, to help someone with the cane, throw away their cane and walk. And some came to him because they wanted this cure. And others were hanging around him because they were hoping that they would throw off the rule of the Roman government, which was oppressing them in many ways. And they were looking for this to be ruled in a better way, and more freedoms, more power. But what they didn't realize, many of them, was that Christ would give them much more than all this, because He had come to be a Savior. He was born to forgive us our sins and declare us upright, acceptable before God. You know, there was a story told, I forget who told it. It was in Reader's Digest. There was a couple, they were trying to have children. And for 5 years, they tried to conceive, but they couldn't. So finally, they adopted. And as they adopted this child, the child came into the family. And as you might have expected, not long after that, the wife conceived. And so gave birth to another child. Now they had two boys, and they grew up a little bit. And they were 8 or 9 years old. And one of the neighbors one day came over to visit, and they said, we just heard that one of your sons is adopted. Which one's, you know, and they wanted to know, which one's your adopted son? And she said, looked straight at her neighbor straight in the eye, and she said, I forgot. You see, when the wife saw her children, she saw one, she saw the other, they both were her children. And as you stand next to Jesus, you understand, and God looks at you, He sees Jesus, and He sees you and what you've done wrong. He can't even tell who did the sins. Jesus has come to give birth to our forgiveness. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins is proclaimed to you, to everyone who believes. To leave with a little practical application to take with you, just two little things. One, that every day, folks, this season, there's 10 days left, by the way, this year, counting today. I think God wants you to refresh yourself in God's forgiveness. There's 10 days. I pray you wake up and start today feeling refreshed and new as you remember that Christ was given birth to forgive you so He could start over fresh each day. Feel good about yourself. Be happy in the season. Smile on your face. So preach Christ's birth to yourself and rejoice in it. But secondly, not only embrace or refresh yourself in Christ's forgiveness personally, but folks, you know, Paul said elsewhere, as Christ has forgiven you, so you must also forgive one another. Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I want you to be forgiving the people around you. This is a season in which, unfortunately, you know, families get together. We have people right on their own streets, you know. And their family, some certain family members don't even get together at all because they remember something that happened in the past and they can't put it aside. And so it's a terrible time. It's a time when most of society is coming together, rejoicing, hanging out. And of course, half of society doesn't even know what they're rejoicing about, just the fact that they're off work for a while. But some of them are torn up inside because the family's not been, you know, there's a disconnect. Or there's some grudge or something. Folks, it's true that people are going to hold grudges. Even some family members may be holding a grudge against you. And they remembered how you hurt them or somebody hurt so-and-so. And so there may not be the celebration from their end. But you know, folks, that shouldn't be your fault. In other words, all you can do is make yourself a forgiving person by God's grace. Open your hands, open your heart, open your home. And you say, hey, you know, God forgives me. Here I am. I'm willing to forgive you. And that's something we ought to do every day throughout these other 10 days that are left anyway. So the message is simple for this season and this Advent Sunday is pretty simple. Christmas is about the birth of forgiveness. It's about receiving forgiveness through faith in Christ. It's about receiving and giving the gift of forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord, help us to be good at receiving Christ's forgiveness through faith. And help us in response also to be good about forgiving others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.